Hare Krishna. We welcome you to our Transcendental Sunday Festival, which was started by Srila Prabhupada when he first came to America, and which was actually developed to a large extent here in Los Angeles, which was Srila Prabhupada's Western World headquarters. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today we will read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 4, Chapter 24, Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. And why he is so is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is considered the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic scriptures, in many, many chapters. If we were to discuss all of the glories of Lord Shiva from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, it would take many days. So we are just going to focus on one verse from one chapter of one series of chapters about the glories of Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. Leading up to where we are in today's verse, the Prachetas, who were a royal princess, had been doing severe austerities. And Lord Shiva came to them to offer them some benediction. And the benediction they requested was to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. So Lord Shiva was very pleased with their request. They did not ask him for some material boon, but they asked for the highest purpose of life, which is eternal service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which takes one beyond the material world of birth, death, disease, and old age. So, in this verse 30, Lord Shiva expresses his appreciation for the Prachetas as Vaishnavas, devotees of Vishnu. And he also explains why Vaishnavas appreciate him. Ata bhagavata yuyam priyasta bhagavan yata namal bhagavata nam cha Prayan Anyo Stikari Chit. Translation. You are all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. It is said, Vaiṣṇavanām yathā śāmbhu. Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees. Therefore, all devotees of Lord Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. In the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva tells his wife, Devi, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param, that of all types of worship, the worship of Vishnu is the highest. Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Tasmat Paratara Devi Tadiyamam Samarchanam. But even higher than the worship of Vishnu is the worship of the devotees of Vishnu. So in that context, we worship devotees. We worship the spiritual master. We worship Vaishnavas, which includes Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva has another aspect, which is of a demigod, a deva, whom people approach for material boons, like they approach Ganesh, Durga, and others. But we are not discussing Shiva in that, you could say, inferior aspect. And I mean, it's the same Shiva, but he plays the part of a demigod for those whose intelligence is a little bewildered or less. In Vrindavan, there is Lord Shiva's temple called Gopīśvara. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva, but Katyayani, or Durga, as well. But their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna. And he does not request material profit. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:20, it is said that generally people worship demigods for some material profit. Kamaisthaistar Hrittagyana. Driven by material lust, they worship demigods. But a devotee never does so, for he is never driven by material lust. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for him.
Asura means Bhima.
The Asura worships Lord Shiva, takes some benediction from him, misuses the benediction, and ultimately is killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards him liberation. One example is Ravana. Ravana was a devotee of Shiva, and by the blessings of Lord Shiva, he attained immense wealth and power. But he became so maddened with material desires and so intoxicated by his material opulence that he dared to kidnap Mother Sita, and in the end he was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Lord Ramachandra. So we should be very careful not to approach Lord Shiva for material benefit, which is actually demonic, frankly speaking, if it's demonic. Because it means that we want to take God's property, everything is God's property, and enjoy it for ourselves in competition with God. Like Mother Sita, she's Lakshmi. And Lakshmi is meant to be engaged in the service of Narayan. So, demons like Ravana, they want to take Lakshmi from Narayan and exploit her for their own sense gratification. So we don't want to be like Ravana, but rather we want to be like Hanuman, who rescued Lakshmi, Sita, from the clutches of Ravana and returned her to Ram. So, because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. This is a very important characteristic of a true devotee. He loves all the other devotees. So we can sort of test what is our spiritual position by how much respect and appreciation and affection we have for the other devotees. Lord Shiva told the Prachetas that because they were devotees of the Lord, he loved them very much. Lord Shiva was kind and merciful not only to the Prachetas. Anyone who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to Lord Shiva. Not only are the devotees dear to Lord Shiva, but he respects them as much as he respects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, devotees of the Supreme Lord also worship Lord Shiva as the most dear devotee of Lord Krishna. Now, this is a very important point. They do not worship him as a separate personality of Godhead. It is stated in the list of nama-aparadhas that it is an offense to think that the chanting of the name of Hari and the chanting of Hara or Shiva is the same. The devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Lord Shiva is his devotee. So yes, it's one of the first offenses in the list of 10 offenses against the holy name, to consider the names of the demigods such as Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. As a devotee of Vishnu, Lord Shiva is respected, but he's not mistaken to be equal to or independent of Lord Vishnu. In Bombay, many years ago, there was he was actually Austrian. Somehow he came to India and he became a sort of Shaivite, impersonalist, and Shaivite. So there was a piece about him in the Illustrated Weekly of India, which is it's a main weekly magazine, like Life magazine used to be, at least in America. And Srila Prabhupada had taught us to respond if there is anything against the principles of Krishna consciousness in the press. So I wrote a letter, and the editor of the Illustrated Weekly of India then was Kushwant Singh, who was a big atheist. So he ran a big spread called Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva, in which he portrayed both of us as being very childish for arguing who is supreme. So I wrote to Srila Prabhupada, and I said that the editor did that deliberately to make us both look bad. And Srila Prabhupada said yes. That sannyasi, his name was Agenda Bharati, so Prabhupada said yes. Bharati is a fool, but Kushwant Singh is a demon. So but this is also we'll read a little more, we'll finish the purport, and then we'll come back to these interesting incidents. The devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Lord Shiva is his devotee. A devotee should be offered respect on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and sometimes even more respect. Indeed, Lord Rama, the Personality of Godhead himself, sometimes worshipped Lord Shiva. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? This is the conclusion. From this verse, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asuras simply for the sake of formality. Actually, he loves one who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Lord Ramachandra was in South India, he worshipped Lord Shiva at Rameshwaram. And of course, Lord Shiva worships Lord Brahma. So this apparently contradictory behavior gives rise to speculation that Shiva is supreme. Now, who is supreme? Is Shiva supreme or is Rama supreme? But Lord Rama's worship of Lord Shiva is not because Lord Shiva is greater than Lord Rama, but it's because the personality of Godhead likes to worship his devotees. For example, when Sudama Vipra visited Lord Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna, Dwarkadish, worshipped Sudama Brahman. You know the story, that Dwarkadish personally washed the feet of Sudama Brahman. And Rukmini, the goddess of fortune herself, was fanning him like a menial servant. But it doesn't mean that Sudama Vipra is supreme. It just means that the Lord is so kind and affectionate to his devotees that he takes pleasure in worshiping them and serving them. So that was the case of Lord Rama with Lord Shiva in Rameshwaram. When I was in Madras and meeting important people in the city, many of the people I met recommended that I meet a well-known religious figure named Mr. Ramakrishna. So they were advising me, and I met him. And I spoke as Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita, as Sukadeva Goswami speaks in Srimad Bhagavatam, as we heard Srila Prabhupada speak. And he became very agitated, and he was saying that Shiva is supreme. Now, in a way, Shiva is supreme in the material world because he is the demigod in charge of the mode of ignorance, tamogun. And most of the material world is in the mode of ignorance. So there is some truth to that statement, but not in any absolute sense. So anyway, I was saying that Krishna is the supreme and giving evidence from the scripture, and he was getting more and more agitated, and he is becoming agitated. Well, I reciprocated, and he was raising his voice, and I was raising my voice. And finally, we both realized this is not getting anywhere, and we should just stop. So we stopped, and I left a meeting that was quite unpalatable. But I kept going around meeting people, and they kept saying, "Oh, you have to meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's such a religious man. He'll like what you're doing." So after a few weeks of hearing this, I thought, well, maybe I should try again. Maybe that was just bad luck. And I phoned him, and he immediately agreed. So I think people were also telling him, oh, you should meet the Hare Krishna devotee. They're doing such good work. You'll really like them. So I went to his home again, and I was, you know, very careful and cautious. He was very careful and cautious. But eventually we came to the same point, who's supreme. And he was saying Shiva, and I was saying Krishna, and he was getting angrier, and I was getting angrier. But then fortunately,
I got an inspiration within my heart. And I said, look, I'm just a student. But my teacher, my guru, Srila Prabhupada, is coming to Madras soon. So instead of our discussing, why don't you discuss with him? So he was very happy with that idea because he got out of the argument and he was going to have a chance to meet Srila Prabhupada. So when Srila Prabhupada came, I informed Mr. Ramakrishnan. He came and he told Srila Prabhupada that I've been discussing with your disciple, Giriraj, and we've been arguing over who is supreme, whether Krishna is supreme or Shiva is supreme. So who is supreme? And Srila Prabhupada is so intelligent, he didn't answer the question directly. He didn't get into that controversy. And he said that there are two words, bhakti or seva, and puja. In puja, the worshipper wants to get some result from his worship. But in bhakti, the devotee wants only to please the deity, Krishna, the deity. And he wants nothing in return. So generally, people approach Shiva in the mood of puja, whereas people approach Krishna in the mood of bhakti. So then Mr. Ramakrishna said, well, isn't it possible that one could approach Lord Shiva in the mood of bhakti? He said, it is possible. Just like someone could go to a liquor shop, he could have some other purpose besides purchasing liquor. But generally, if someone goes to a liquor shop, it's understood he's going to buy liquor. So then Mr. Ramakrishna said, well, but what if someone did worship Lord Shiva in the mood of bhakti? And Srila Prabhupada said, then there is no problem at all. Then there's no problem at all. Then the worship of Shiva is as good as the worship of Krishna. Because Shiva, if you approach him in that way, he will act as a Shiksha Guru, just like he acted for the Prachetas. And he will guide you how to approach Krishna. And then there's no duality at all. There's no contradiction at all. So that should be our mood. Lord Shiva, yes, now why is he considered the greatest Vaishnav? Well, one reason is, perhaps the main reason, is that he is so merciful. That is the nature of a true Vaishnav. Paraduka Duki. He feels sorrow for the sorrow of others. And he wants to relieve their suffering. One very vivid example, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, is when the demigods and the demons were churning the ocean of milk very furiously. And a terrible poison was produced. And that poison was increasing in volume. It was threatening to become like an ocean that would fill the whole universe and kill all the living entities in the entire universe. So the devotees approached Lord Narayan, and he advised them to approach Lord Shiva. which they did, along with Lord Narayan. Now, of course, Lord Narayan, he could have saved the situation himself, but he chose not to, because he likes to give credit to his devotees. That's the Lord's kindness and affection towards his devotees. So Lord Shiva consulted his wife, Bhavani, and he said, this is the situation. The universe is filling up with the deadliest poison, and they're asking me to drink it. And Lord Shiva said that generally in the material world, people are absorbed in animosity with one another. But great souls or devotees, they accept great tribulation and undergo great difficulties for the sake of helping others. People are suffering, they're afraid, they're in danger. So even if there's some risk, and of course Lord Shiva is so powerful, there really was no risk, but even if there is some risk, I must take it. And reading that section of Srimad Bhagavatam, I thought of so many devotees, but especially of Srila Prabhupada, who took such tremendous risk leaving India and crossing the ocean at the age of 70 and having two heart attacks on the way, but still in that mood of compassion, of wanting to relieve people of their suffering in the highest way and in the most permanent way, by giving them Krishna consciousness, he took that risk. And therefore he has that quality that makes Lord Shiva the greatest Vaishnava, the quality of compassion, of being ready to sacrifice all personal comforts and security for the sake of others. So Lord Shiva took that huge ocean of poison. Huge. It was, like I said, it was threatening to fill the whole universe. And he concentrated it into a quantity that could fit in the palm of his hand. You can imagine how concentrated that was. All the poison in an ocean that was threatening to fill the universe in the palm of his hand. And he drank it. And it stayed within his throat and turned his throat of bluish black color. And which is, from a certain point of view, could be considered a blemish. But actually devotees worship that coloration of Lord Shiva's throat because it was a manifestation of his great compassion for the living entities. And therefore he is called Nilakant or Kavakant. So that quality of compassion makes him the greatest Vaishnava. And that quality is something that we are all meant to develop. This is what we can learn from Lord Shiva, how to be ready to take any risk, make any sacrifice for the sake of doing good for others, relieving them of their fears and anxiety and suffering. And another manifestation of his mercy is the way he looks. Now, Lord Shiva, he's actually an expansion of Vishnu. The Brahma Samhita explains that just as milk in contact with some acid turns into yogurt, and the yogurt is the same as the milk, but also different from the milk. Similarly, Lord Vishnu, when he comes in contact with the material nature, becomes transformed into Lord Shiva, who is the same as Vishnu, but also not the same as Vishnu. Because milk can become yogurt, but yogurt cannot become milk. So he is beyond the modes of material nature. But out of his mercy, he dresses like we see with the snakes and ashes from the crematorium. He looks, you know, quite ghastly. But he does that out of mercy to people in the mode of ignorance who are attracted to those things. He doesn't have to dress like that or appear like that, but he does it so they'll feel comfortable. Because it's sort of like that, that people sort of like attracts like. I think now, I mean, this is a little different example, but our god brother Sridhar Swami, our wonderful god brother Sridhar Swami, I didn't know this, but I met one of his best friends on a flight. And his best friend told me that in their youth, on the weekend, they would get drunk, and for fun, they would punch each other and, you know, fight, you know. But what I did know, I heard from Sridhar Swami himself. He first met the devotees in Berkeley, California. And they had a table with books and incense and pictures, posters. So there was a poster of Krishna. And Sridhar Swami that time had really long hair. He's quite a rough character. And so he said to the devotee at the book table, "Who's that?" He said, "That's God. That's Krishna." "Oh yeah, that's God? Well, what if I take that picture and tear it into pieces? Then what would you do?" And the devotee said, "I think I'd have to kill you." And when Sridhar Swami heard that, he was very impressed. He thought, okay, these are the type of people I can mix with. So Lord Shiva, he also, you know, he takes on that appearance out of mercy. So that people who are attracted to those lower modes will feel comfortable with him. And then he gradually elevates them. And his ultimate desire is that they should become devotees of Krishna. So we offer him our respects as a Vaishnava. And we pray to him to help us to attain the favor of Krishna, which we can do by imbibing his quality, especially of mercy, of compassion, of being ready to make any sacrifice for the sake of helping others, which can be manifest in the best way by making sacrifice to help others come to Krishna consciousness, just like Srila Prabhupada did. So, we'll end here. As I said, we could discuss for days about the glories of Lord Shiva, but we have constraints of time. But I think we could take maybe one or two questions, if there are any. Any questions or comments? All right, one. We will take just one.
What about Lord Shiva and his form when he's not yet in contact with material nature?
Oh yes, Sada Shiva. There's Sada Shiva. Yes, he exists in the spiritual world, and he's still not exactly the same as Vishnu, but he's an expansion of Vishnu. That Vishnu means there's so many expansions of Vishnu. So he's also an expansion of Vishnu called Sadashiva. And Advaita Acharya, who we say is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, he's also sometimes said to be an incarnation of Sadashiva. And he's also full of compassion for the fallen souls. Thank you.
Hare
Krishna. I should just mention there's one verse in which Lord Shiva tells Parvati that I'm always chanting the name of Ram, and my mind is fully enchanted by the name of Ram. And three names of Ram equal 1,000 names of Vishnu. Because Lord Shiva wanted Parvati to join him, I think for honoring Prasad, and she wouldn't join him because she had to chant her Vishnu Sahasranam. So he said, don't worry, you just chant three names of Rama, that equals 1,000 names of Krishna, Vishnu. So let us chant three names of Rama in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And we've chanted 1,000 names of Vishnu. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.